Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. And today's episode features Malik Carter from episode 101. And it's all about the power of the generational mindset. So Malik's family owned acres and acres of land generationally, and he was able to take that real estate acumen, that amazing ability to go into real estate for himself and continue, keyword there is to continue, to build his family's generational wealth. So the generational mindset in real estate is coming up with Malik Carter, episode 101, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Spotlight. Let's get it.
Talk to us about, you mentioned the farm that your mom grew up on, and also the land that on your dad's side that they had since the Civil War. Can you tell us more about that? Because that's pretty rare. You know, we've had countless guests who talk about that, you know, their family had land or houses, and once one person died in the bloodline, everything was liquidated because no one was really educated on how to, like, you know, keep and maintain this. Can you talk about, you know, what you know about how they were able to keep that?
Yeah, for sure. So my mom's house, so it's a little easier to talk about that one because it was 200 acres. Now it's down like 105 acres or so, the farm. And no, it's definitely not deeded properly, but the heirs that are left know to at least as much as pay the taxes, right? They pay the tax, they sell the trees off, and they do what they got to do to make sure that there is no debt. Now, this generation is getting a little harder because my uncle passed away a couple of months ago. And so now it's like, okay, we got to really do something because now he got kids. And, you know, once we get into, you know, the next generation, it's going to be crazy to recoup it. So we're actively, my mom's actively working on getting the paperwork right to transfer everything properly so we don't, you know, lose it to taxes. So she's doing that now, right? Then, or just family swap, those, we're trying to get that taken care of. My dad's side, like I said, I don't even know what great grandfather, you know, he actually got that land. It was a land they were slaves on.
Wow.
You know, and it's, I'm Malik Carter, it's Carter's Creek in Gloucester, Virginia. If you Google Maps it, there's a point that's our 40 acres right there. And, you know, we got that, like, he was basically bought a part of it, was given a part of that land, you know, from the slave master's wife after the Civil War. And so they grow tobacco on it. And so then we share crop on it. So we, the farmer, he grows tobacco and then he rotates it out. Well, I think it was soybean. And he just, you know, pretty much pays. It's not a lot of money, but I have to get the taxes paid. And it's right there waterfront. So it's great, you know. And right after Civil War, my great grandfather saved enough money that he bought both of his two brothers oyster boats. So they were oyster farmers right there. So, you know, entrepreneurs for the past, you know, a couple hundred years.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. So that's in Virginia. Where's the farm your mom was raised on?
Farms in Danville, Virginia.
Okay.
Right, which is it's all the way across the state, right? My dad's side is in Gloucester, which is closer to, it's like 10 minutes from Williamsburg, Virginia. If you're familiar with Williamsburg, like 20 minutes from Hampton. You know, my mom's side is the opposite end of the Virginia, which is, Danville is on the border of North Carolina. It's like 40 minutes from Greensboro, 40 minutes from Durham another way, and like 50 minutes from Raleigh.
Got it. When you were a kid, did you have an opportunity to visit down there?
Oh, I went to Gloucester every summer. We were there every actually, my fondest memories, my family get together at the house in Gloucester. So we have another house there. Mm-hmm. So that's the 40 acres, but there's another house that's on 7 acres. And it's like an 8-bedroom house. It's wow. In bad shape now, but it's still there. And so we still have that. So yeah, we'll go there every summer. That land.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. So, you know, when you decided to start investing in real estate, What was your mentality like? Were you still kind of, were you nervous as most people were, or were you like, you know, my family has done this in some aspect for so many years, so I have some level of like confidence to take this step? Like, did that impact you at all when it came to investing in real estate?
No, it didn't. So, because I had seen it for so long, you know, I wasn't afraid. Plus, Philly is cheap. The very first house that I bundled up, the only house I ever foreclosed on was that one. But otherwise, I'm buying a house for $18,000, $20,000. So it wasn't scary to buy a house for $18,000. I could pay for that. But however, so that wasn't scary at all.
Definitely, definitely. So talk to us about just that first deal when you decided, you know, all right, I'm going to invest in real estate. I want to use this as one of my ways to build wealth. What was that experience like for you?
So the very first one that I bought was a rooming house, and I did the deal, and I was actually dead broke. So I was a mortgage banker And then in 08, I kind of lost everything, you know, and the next time period, like everything was bad, lost my business, lost everything. And so I did that deal, and the way I did the deal, I ended up walking away with some money. And so that gave me my opportunity to kind of come back and get on my feet. You know, my license was suspended, so I had to pay to get my license back. So I could move after I had that property. And it's a 3-story house, and I ended up putting 8 bedrooms in it. So I'm making money hand over fist out of the place. I mean, super slumlord. Like, it was bad. It was a terrible place. I'm embarrassed I even owned it, you know, but it got me, you know, over the hump. So, you know, my first taste of cash flow, you know, was really that property. But it was tough, man. It was a bad place.
Definitely, definitely. So you took kind of a unique route, right? It sounds like you just rented out room by room, right?
Right, each room. Yeah.
So talk to us more about that decision. I think you also said you ended up making it 8-bedroom. Why did you go that route versus, like, you know, renting out to like a family or something?
So, you know, what happened is a friend of mine had the house and he was losing it. And so I ended up partnering with him, did the deal, we're renting the rooms, I'm making money. Then I was like, listen, how about this? Let me just buy you out. And that was a deal. I ended up just buying him out and taking it over. And when I took him out, I added 2 more bedrooms to the first floor. First floor was just like an open living room. And so I added 2 more bedrooms down there. So if we do the math on that, so the mortgage on it was about like $950 or something like that a month. And so in the third floor, in the front bedroom, I was getting $100, middle bedroom, $75, back bedroom, $50. Second floor, I was getting $100 in the first bedroom, $75 in the middle, $150 for the back bedroom, was a double room. Then the first floor, I was getting $125 for the front room and $150 for the second room. They had a half bed. So I'm making a lot of money out of this place. And, you know, when I bought it, the utilities weren't all the way connected in the right way. So I didn't have a utility bill. I had no water, no electricity. I had to pay oil. It's an oil heater. I had to pay oil to heat the property up. But so I'm just killing it for a minute. I was getting busy. I'm making thousands of dollars a month off that one property. So I was like, man, this was great. Until it wasn't. I'm saying, so it went bad because I actually worked. I ended up getting a job in public housing. And so the projects I worked at was like 3 or 4 blocks away. So I could easily manage. I could run over, collect rent, what I got to do, get back to work. You know, lunch break or not, it didn't matter. I could just run out, you know, and come back. But it was very dangerous block, man. I was like food because I come out there, it's like, you know, the guys hustling outside. They knew I was collecting money. So every time I come out, you know, I'm a target. You know, I got thousands of dollars in my pocket in the middle of the North Philly somewhere on a back block that's dark, you know, so it was just and then, you know, it was a home invasion, just a bunch of stuff going on over there. Mm-hmm. You know, they got into a fight with the neighborhood and the neighborhood stole the door. I'm like, yo, how did the neighborhood steal your door off the house?
A door?
They stole the front door.
Wow.
Front door. Neighborhood, you know, it's that kind of neighborhood I was in. And then I actually had my kid. And my risk tolerance went down and I moved. They transferred me to a different site all the way across in Southwest Philly called Bartram Village. And that commute, I couldn't manage it it's got to be a lot. It had to be a lot. And I ended up just letting it go.
Got it. Makes sense. So so it sounds like you definitely had your hands full and had quite a few experiences with that particular property. So how did you rebound after that? What came next after that?
So I just kept buying, man. Even after the foreclosure, I had to do my wife's name, my name. We had to figure it out. You know, I still kept, buying properties. I wasn't really flipping a lot. I mean, I would buy a rental and I wouldn't flip per se. I wait like a year or some change, maybe sell it and, kind of upgrade. Because in my job, I was only making, when I first started, $405 a week, $401 a week, actually, when I first started. And then I got a raise like in 6 months to like $454 a week. Then it went to like $510. So I wasn't making a lot of money. So I couldn't like really leverage a whole lot, and buy more. And the crazy thing, man, is where I was at Bloomberg Apartments, those from Philly that I know, is at 23rd and Jefferson. Somebody offered me a house across the street from the projects when I worked there for $7,000. A three-story house is like $7,000. And I said no, because there's a lot of murder down there, really bad. And I didn't trust it. And then the house needed work, and I couldn't even figure out how to get $7,000. That house was demolished now, but if it was still there, easy $500,000. Easy $500,000.
Wow.
Easy. I'm probably, and if it was zoned multifamily, $650,000.
Wow.
I don't know what the zone it was when I had it, but $7,000. I could have bought it a whole block. Like they were giving houses away around there. Nobody wanted them.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was bad, But now, in a matter of less than 10 years later, crazy.
Wow.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.